Yeah, so the gospel reading for this morning is from Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 30 through till verse 44, which is on page 1550 of the Church Bibles. It's Jesus feeds the 5,000. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Stefan, if you'd like to come up, I'll just pray for you before you bring the message to us. Father God, thank you for the message that you've given us in the Bible. Thank you for the gospel and the wonderful truth that when you and when Jesus looked on the crowd, he had compassion on us, Lord. Thank you that you've had compassion on us and that you sent Jesus to live and to die and to be risen for us. And we thank you that you've also put compassion in the hearts of many who follow you, and we thank you for global organizations like Tear Fund who seek to mirror your love and your mercy and your compassion and to help the needy, and we thank you for bringing Stefan here this morning to speak to us, and just pray, Lord, that you would anoint him and put the words in his mouth that you want him to speak while he tells us of everything that you've been doing through Tear Fund. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you once again for your kind invitation. I don't work full-time for Tear Fund. I'm actually a software engineer in my day job. And I worship at Eden Baptist Church in Cambridge, so that's where I've come from this morning. I also want to thank you as a church for your support in gifts and prayers for Tear Fund's ministry over many years. Now, our computer records, I think, only go back as far as 1984, and you're in there then, as far, I am told. And your support may well go back before that. We just don't have it on record. So I do want to, you know, just open by saying that I really appreciate your support and your love to the poor in the world by your support of our ministry. Now, you may not know this, but or perhaps you do, that last year Tear Fund celebrated its 50th birthday. The song we're going to do at the end, actually, Beauty for Brokenness by Graham Kendrick, was actually written for the 25th anniversary of Tear Fund, which is why it's always so appropriate. But I'd like you to come back with me 51 years for a moment to 1968, and I'll tell you how Tear Fund got started. I guess some of you here are old enough to remember the little black and white television sets that took about 5 minutes to warm up. Yeah? Back in 1968, there was a famine in Biafra, which was caused by a civil war in Nigeria. And it was a massive shock to the British public, because this was really the first time that they ever saw starving children on their TV screens. Some Christians were so outraged that the offices of the Evangelical Alliance were flooded with checks and letters pleading with the organisation to send help to its church contacts. And as a result, the Evangelical Alliance Relief Fund, which previously had been little more than a drawer in a filing cabinet, became Tear Fund and became a part of an airlift that saved 1 million lives. Okay, let's fast wind back to today. In the last financial year, Tear Fund provided life-saving emergency help, that's emergency help, to over 1 million people. 3.8 million people were helped through our long-term development work. 91,132 generous people like you entrusted us with nearly £75 million. These are big numbers compared to the sort of sums that we hand in our daily lives. But then when you think of what government spends and what authorities around the world spend, isn't that just a drop in the ocean? I mean, after all, we still see starving children on our TV screens. In Yemen, in Syria, in parts of sub-Saharan Africa. Well, actually, no. I want to bring you some good news today, which is that the number of people living in absolute poverty has actually dropped in our lifetime. It's fallen dramatically. The World Bank estimates that in 1980, roughly 44% of the world's population was living on, in today's terms, less than $2 a day. The provisional estimates for 2015 show that this had dropped to less than 10%. And when you consider that in that time, the world's population has grown from nearly 4.5 billion to over 7 billion, this is absolutely amazing. So change can happen. And so when I tell you that Tear Fund's vision is to see the end of absolute poverty in our lifetimes, maybe you can find it believable if you consider the facts. And we believe that this is a part of God's plan for humankind, as told in this wonderful book, the Bible. The vision of the shared kingdom that John describes in the book of Revelation is no mere daydream. It's a picture of what God has done, is doing, and will be continuing to do in the world. The death and resurrection of Jesus inaugurates the kingdom of God and enables us to enter it. And God, through the Spirit, is and will continue to be working in the world to reveal the kingdom until the end, when he will come and make all things new, renewing and re-perfecting his creation as heaven comes to earth. This morning, I'd like to try and show you how we can be together, we can be part of that. We can start by seeing what absolute poverty means on an individual level. Now, when you came in, you should all have been handed a little card like this, along with your bulletin. And just have a look at the picture that's inside to the right-hand side. This is the woman called Ruth, who we already met in the children's talk. She lives in rural Nigeria, and she's one of the 10%, that's 1 billion people, who are still living in extreme poverty. She's married, she has 5 surviving children, 2 of them living at home with her and her husband. And they live in a very poor community in a remote area with no sanitation and only pond water to drink. Now, changes in weather patterns and difficulty in accessing water mean that harvests are very poor, and Ruth's family experience a hunger gap of at least 3 months every year. And during that time, every day is a struggle for Ruth and her husband to know how to feed the family. So with her children begging her for more food and falling behind because they can't pay for schooling, Ruth is really desperate for her life to change. But she needs a breakthrough. So let's watch a short film about Ruth and her situation and how the local church is helping.
Life in this community can be very difficult. What makes life so difficult is the lack of food. My dream is to have enough money to meet all our needs. I will pay for my children's education, build a good house, and have savings to deal with any problems that we face. My name is Ruth, and I am married with 6 children. 3 have left home, and sadly, 1 passed away. So I live with my husband and 2 youngest children. We suffer periods of hunger that sometimes last 5 or 6 months. Then we just eat 1 meal a day, and I have to forage for food and live off the little that we have and are able to grow. I try my very best, but the times when I cannot provide food for my children is a huge problem for me. Sometimes my children are sent away from school because I can't afford to pay the fees. Fetching firewood is our only source of income to take care of the family.
Kokida community is a very poor community, lacking potable drinking water, has poor agricultural practices, but the greatest challenge is inadequate food. We have started addressing the needs of these communities by organizing Church Awakening Bible studies through the support of Tearfund that would eventually help communities lift themselves out of poverty. Through the process, there have been self-help groups that have been formed.
I joined a self-help savings and loans group 1 year ago, and it has helped me make a change in my life. After the first year out, I bought 2 bags of fertilizer. In the past, I harvested 3 to 5 bags of maize, but last harvest yielded 13 bags. The church facilitators also taught us to diversify our crops. If I plant 1 bean and it yields, I can harvest about 70 to 80 beans. I also bought a chicken and 2 pigs, so I thank God for what He has been doing in my life. It awakened me to look for opportunities, and it has helped my faith. Now I put my trust in God. Our farm is very small and not large enough to sell the produce, so I hope to breed livestock. That way, anytime I have a problem, I can sell them to meet our needs, because I have a lot of needs. But still, my most urgent challenge is lack of food and periods of hunger. I want people to pray for me, that God will protect me and God will guide me, that there will be total transformation for my family. I believe the self-help group will bring about that change.
Small changes have started to transform Ruth's life.
With this little, it will one day be something.
Give what you can and see how your gifts are powerful in God's hands.
As Ruth explained in our film, her main problem is feeding her children, but she also struggles to pay school fees and pay for medical care. And we've also heard that she's suffered the tragedy of losing a child. These are the harsh realities of living on less than $2 a day. And these are the facts of life for nearly 1 billion people. How do you feel about that? And how do you think God feels about that, with nearly 1 billion hungry mouths to feed? Well, Tearfund has a partner, the Church of Christ in Nigeria, and they run something called a Church and Community Development Program, which has just begun work in Ruth's village. They run a their program is actually called Church and Community Transformation Program. But what does that mean? It means learning better farming techniques, diversifying crops, so growing beans as well as maize, to cover the hunger gap, and saving money with their self-help group. And that is how Ruth has transformed her life, by having more food for her children, a metal roof for their home, and money to send their children to school. There's such a chronic need across the world. Doesn't it seem wrong that we live in the 21st century and there are people like Ruth suffering like this? The passage of scripture that we had read just before I started speaking speaks powerfully about these things, and it's a very familiar story. But we're going to look at it perhaps in a way you may not have considered before. See, the passage describes a situation where there were great needs. First of all, we see there was spiritual hunger. People were following Jesus. They were actually desperate to follow Jesus, and they were lapping up his teaching. But we also see that there was material need, material hunger. People were hungry for food, yes, and also for healing. We hear in some of the accounts of this story in the other Gospels that Jesus also healed people at the same time. And it's the same in the world today. There's a massive spiritual hunger. Whatever the national statistics in this country are, worldwide, the church is growing rapidly. And we've seen there's material hunger. 1 billion people, like Ruth, living in extreme poverty. So this story raises two questions. What is our responsibility to those in need? And how best can we help those in need? And that's what I want to explore this morning. In verse 34 of Mark 6, we read, "When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things." As we say, as I said, in this story, we also hear in the other Gospels that Jesus healed the sick. And as the story goes on, we see that he's concerned that they're hungry for food. He's not only bothered about the spiritual side of their lives, but their physical needs as well. It's a bit of a Western separation, this really. In a lot of other cultures, they tend to take a more holistic approach, consider the whole person. God is concerned about every aspect of a person's life. He wants to meet all of our needs. So when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. By contrast, there's a bit of a limit to the disciples' compassion. They're tired. They're inclined to leave the people to find their own food. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." You see, they'd been out on ministry. They'd been really fired up. They'd gone out doing ministry on their own, and they'd come back to Jesus and reported what they'd done. But they were tired. They'd had their fill of doing ministry, and now they wanted to head home and put their feet up. They wanted to do the present day equivalent of settling in for the night to snuggle up and watch Strictly or maybe Match of the Day. I know I often feel like that when I'm faced with people's needs, and I imagine that you do too sometimes. It's easy to want to look away and switch off. The problem is that Jesus challenges us to respond. In verse 37, Jesus says to his disciples, "You give them something to eat." Jesus challenges us to consider that how we care for those in need is part of the gospel. It's part of our responsibility as Christians. And throughout scripture, we see that God has what could be called a bias to the poor, a special concern for widows, orphans, immigrants, the poor. In Galatians 5, we read, "It's for freedom that Christ has set us free." But that freedom needs to include freedom from hunger and grinding poverty. So how do we help people in need? Well, there are some great insights for us in this story. The disciples' response to the challenge to get food for everyone was disbelief. "We could spend half a year's wages buying food for all these people." They can't imagine how it would be possible to feed 5,000 men and all the women and children with them, possibly well over 10,000 people. And they felt overwhelmed at the prospect of trying to meet such a great need. And we can feel similarly overwhelmed when we hear about the problems that exist in countries like Nigeria. You see, despite its immense resources and some pockets of tremendous wealth, Nigeria suffers from widespread poverty. Food shortages affect millions of people, and years of crippling military rule have left Nigeria's population very vulnerable to conflict. In 7 years, more than 20,000 people have been killed in attacks led by the militant group Boko Haram. About 1.7 million people have been forced out of their homes by conflict and now live in internally displaced people camps. That means they're refugees in their own countries. And an estimated 7.7 million people are in need of humanitarian assistance. Many parts of northeast Nigeria are on the brink of famine. And with the food levels getting critically low, there's a desperate need for peace. About half of the country's estimated population are living in extreme poverty. Nigeria now has the largest population living in extreme poverty in the world. And so it could be easy to look at the problems people face there and wonder, like the disciples, if they can be helped by anything we can do. Jesus has something very different in mind to the disciples. He sees things rather differently. Notice Jesus' question. He asks, "How much bread do you have?" In other words, what have you got in your hands? Not what don't you have, but what do you have? What they had was almost laughable, a couple of fish and a few loaves, very little to feed so many. "That's okay," Jesus says. "It's enough. We're going to use what we have. With our Father in heaven, that's fine." And then we see something amazing happen. The disciples did what Jesus told them to do, even though it sounded ridiculous. After he blessed the food, they distributed it. And next to nothing became so much that the disciples ended up picking up the leftovers and filling 12 baskets. We could say that with God, less is more. There is enough to feed everyone with food left over. The miracle takes place because Jesus doesn't focus on their lack, on what they don't have. Instead, he looks at what they do have, gives thanks, and looks to his Father in heaven for help. There's also a passage, a rather similar story in the Old Testament about Elijah asking a widow to give him food and water. But I believe you did something on this passage a week or two ago. God had told Elijah that he would be looked after by this widow. And she tells him that they'd almost run out of food because of a drought. Like Jesus' disciples, the widow was asked to have a change of mindset. "What have you got?" Elijah asked her. "Just a little olive oil." And she's commanded to go out to round her neighbours, fetch jars, and she fills these jars up and from the little bit of oil she's got, and miraculously they're all filled. And she fed her whole household, and Elijah too, until the famine was over. So these stories both illustrate wonderfully how Tearfund works. At the heart of our church and community transformation work, we help people to see their situations differently and focus not on what they don't have, but on what they do have and what they can do. And this brings about a change of mindset that results in extraordinary transformation. And this is exactly what happened to Ruth. When the Church and Community Development Program started working with Ruth's church, she was helped to understand through this story and other Bible passages how God is concerned not only for her spiritual life, but also for the struggles that she and her family were experiencing. Ruth had a fresh encounter with God that helped her discover God's love and care for her. So the church started off self-help groups where people learn to share every area of their lives together. They grow in faith, they support and they pray for one another. And on the economic side, each person pays what seems like a laughably tiny amount, just a few pence maybe, every week into a microcredit fund from which they can take loans with very low interest. And that's what Ruth did. She was able to get a small loan to buy fertilizer. Her crop yields rocketed, as we saw in the film. A few small changes to the way they farm their fields will make a huge difference to the volume of crops Ruth's family can harvest. And then we also learned how one tiny bean can yield up to 80, which she can harvest at different times of the year to her maize and so provide food during the usual hunger gap. So less became more for Ruth. Now, it may not have been a literal miracle in the way that Jesus provided for the 5,000s, but nevertheless, its effects are pretty miraculous. Ruth now has the dignity of meeting her family's needs and not depending on handouts. Her story shows how God can take whatever we can give and use our gifts to transform people's lives. We give and he multiplies our efforts. Ruth learned to use the little in her hand just as the disciples learned to use the little in theirs. Tirfan's been doing development work for 50 years and have found new ways of addressing poverty that don't cost the earth, where thousands can be impacted rather than just a few. So rather than coming from outside with our ideas and our resources, we help release the potential that's already there within communities. The people, their energy, their imagination, their skills, their land, their entrepreneurial abilities. This approach values people. It doesn't see them as poor, needy things in need of our help and our solutions broken in need of fixing. It respects that they have ideas and skills and resources to bring to the table themselves. It empowers people to change their own situations. So we help churches and their communities to find suitable solutions, sustainable solutions to poverty, which frees them from a dependence on handouts and outside agencies. We help communities lift themselves out of poverty so they can thrive without our help. And phenomenal miracles are taking place in dozens of the poorest countries of the world. We actually launched our first church and community transformation pilot in 2001. And since then, we've reached more than 10 million people across 41 countries. We're scaling up our work across whole denominations in a way that has the potential to change whole nations. The growth of it is nothing short of miraculous. So we don't need to be overwhelmed by the need in the world. The Lord has something in mind for this need, and it's his church. Now, I'll be guessing that most of you in this room are also disciples of Jesus. And I'd like you again to pick up the card that you received. I'm going to explain how you can be involved and if God is moving your heart in that direction. But before I talk about money, I do not want you to feel pressured or that I'm trying to put guilt on you or anything like that. We all have lots of calls on our resources, and I know that and I respect that. So this is for you if this is the way that the Lord is moving your heart. What's in your hand now? Is it just a piece of paper? I would suggest it has the potential to be much more than that. As I said before, we do believe it's possible to see the end of absolute poverty in our lifetimes. Just a few pence a day can help transform the mindsets that hold people like Ruth in that poverty trap. So just as an example, it costs £12 a month £12 a month for a year for two people like Ruth to receive skills and training through a self-help group to provide for her family. That's just 17 pence a day. Now take a closer look at the leaflet. There are a few pens up the front here if you want to do this, if you want to take action immediately. You can sign up to receive postal or email updates from us. That actually costs nothing. We do a great magazine called Tier Times. I'm very sorry I don't have any copies of the latest issue. Some of you may already receive this. If you don't, sign up to receive it. It's full of really good news about what Tier Fund's doing around the world. If you're able, you can pledge to give whatever you can afford each month. If you've got your bank details handy, you can actually do that right now. If you don't have those details on you, or you need time to think about it or talk with a family member, just fill in your number, your phone number, and someone from Tier Fund will phone you. This will not be a pressured call like you might get from some charities. This will be just to discuss through with you what your options are. I'll be happy to receive your cards after the service, or if you prefer, you can take them away with you. But this is your opportunity to see how the little in your hand can be multiplied by God to do the miraculous. Shall we just pray for a while? First of all, I just want to echo the prayer that Ruth said in the film. I pray that God will protect and guide me, that there will be total transformation in my family. And now let us pray for Ruth and for so many like her. Loving and faithful Father, we praise you for your love and mercy. Thank you for listening to us, for taking an interest in every area of our lives. Thank you that you understand our needs and that you provide ways for us to help others in need. We lift up Ruth and her family to you and pray with expectant faith for her prayers to be answered, that she will feel God's guidance and protection and will experience total transformation. We place our gifts and our very lives in your hands and ask you to use us for your glory. Amen. There's another short film now that just has some still photos, which just look at these, and it's a chance for a couple of minutes for reflection.